But some are beginning to remember their beginnings.
Right.
Now, I know my beginnings as far as intellectual knowing, because I know the scriptures and I know what God has spoken to me. That I did not begin at a physical birth. I know that all of us have always been.
Come on,
Jerry. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
And a few months ago, I was reading in the book of Hebrews. And for those of you that's on our CD of the month, I think it was last month, I did a message on possessing the land. And this just a few months ago, I began to have an understanding and some insight into what that was all about. And I've read the Old Testament, all the types and shadows, and you know. But I was reading in Hebrews 11, and it talks about all the mighty men of faith. Enoch was there. Talks about Enoch.
Yes, it does.
And I used to think, well, now that's the experience I want, you know, because we all thought, you know, we thought Enoch reached the utopia. But evidently he didn't, because he's listed with these men in Hebrews 11 that says they never received the promise. So that means you can be translated as Enoch was and still never receive the promise. So I started to investigate what was that promise. And here's what I read in Hebrews that absolutely just jumped out at me. Because it names Abraham, it names all the what we call the mighty men of faith. And it says these, in Hebrews 11:13, it says these all died in faith, not having received the promises.
That's what it says.
And what really threw me was that, again, Enoch was mentioned there.
Yes.
And all my life I thought, man, that would be the greatest experience in the world, to just be, you know, be translated, to be caught up. But it plainly says, they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, they did know that. They knew that this earth was not their home. But here's what they didn't know. It says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. I'll tell you what, I jumped up and down. And you see, that's why God is bringing us such revelation. And you know, it's not just revelation. Because revelation without the experience is just information.
That's right.
And God knows we do not need any more information. I might be the bishop, but you're the arch. But if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. So it's very plain. When I saw that, I thought, man, I have read Hebrews. I've lived in Hebrews for weeks and probably even months at a time. And just a few months ago, that just jumped out at me. If they had been mindful from whence they came, they might have had the opportunity to return.
Wow.
They did not know what the promise of the land was. But the promise of the land is the inheritance of your physical body.
Right.
You see, God has always wanted to incarnate in humanity.
Amen.
And we've been trying to get out of it. We've been trying to kill it and crucify it and you know, all manner of things we've tried to do to get rid of it. And all God wants to do is come in to fully incarnate in this humanity and begin to live a life of joy and expression and happiness and especially love.
Yes.
Amen. Most of the weekend, that's what I'm going to be talking about, because, boy, that's where my heart is.
Yes. Amen.
Because I know so many people that have so much information,
yes,
yet I see little evidence of the experience of, I say God in their life, but it's really the experience of love in their life.
Yes.
Yes.
We need that desperately.
Yes. Yes.
And the only way that we can ever enter experientially in the kingdom of God, and this is where we've missed it. We've tried to do it by study, by knowledge, by going to meetings, by listening to prophets, by listening to preachers, by going to Bible school. And the only way that we can enter experientially into the kingdom of God is through inspiration, through faith, and through spiritual enlightenment. You can't learn any of that. But because we have never really, we've never been told that we can trust our intuition. We can't trust our inspiration. What we have been taught is that we have to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We have to have those in authority over us to tell us what to do. And we have so much information, then all it does is put us into bondage. Tried to be spiritual.
Yes, we have.
But we, you know what? We haven't really known what spirituality was, because we thought that it was praying, fasting, denying the soul. And I'm going to get into that, because there is a lot of truth there, because you will never experience walking in the kingdom of God until you learn how to deny the soul. But we thought denying the soul was don't smoke, and don't chew, and don't go with the girls that do, you know. But Jesus did say, you know, if you save your life, you're going to lose it. If you want to follow after me, you must deny your soul.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with what we thought. Because, you know, I don't know how many years, Carol and I listened to a set of tapes back in about 1987 from Randy Shankill called, what were they called? The
Suke,
yeah, the series on Suke. And it was all about how we have to deny our soul. And, you know, and denying your soul is about anything that you get pleasure out of. You need to deny it. You need to not, you know, the old holiness teaching, you know, we don't go to movies and we don't, my God, we don't chew and we don't take a drink and we don't do all that stuff. That is not at all what Jesus meant when he said you must deny your soul.
You're right.
Not a thing did he mean. See, the soul, well, a lot of people say that the soul that we're talking about is that individual human personality that we have that's aware of itself. It's called self-awareness.
Yeah.
But this is a little self. It's the self that we've believed ourselves to be all of our life. And that self can never walk in the kingdom of God. And that's the person that, what some call the ego, that is always trying to be something that it can never be. And so we're taught by our religious teachers that, you know, if you really want to walk in the kingdom of God, then you have to deny that thing. And, you know, you just can't do anything. There's no end to the list of what you can't do.
Right.
And about the only thing you can do is go to church, tithe your money, boy, that's a big one, and put yourself under the authority of the church leaders. And I'll tell you, that's what wrecks your life.
Amen.
Absolutely will totally destroy you. When you put yourself under the authority of another person, well, I'll tell you, I'm not popular for this.
Okay.
But I'll guarantee you, and most of you probably know it, if you've ever put yourself under the authority of another person, they will lead you into bondage.
That's right.
Because that's what religion is all about. I have to keep you feeling guilty. I have to keep you feeling like that I'm superior and that I have the answers for you. And I have to keep you coming back to me for those answers. Look to a man to get your fulfillment or to get your instruction from, the more you'll experience anything but the kingdom of God.
Right.
Because again, walking in the kingdom of God only comes through intuition, through faith. And when I say faith, it has nothing to do with your faith whatsoever. You see, what I mean by that is that this human personality that feels separate and alienated from God, that thing tries to have faith, confesses the word day and night. I've been in places where that's all I did, is walk around and confess the word day and night. You know what? It didn't help me.
Uh-uh.
It didn't hurt me. But you cannot experience the kingdom of God through any kind of activity that that little ego tries to do to get godly. The only way that we begin to experientially walk in the kingdom is through inspiration, through faith, and through spiritual enlightenment. And again, you never have to read a Bible to get that. You never have to go to church to get it. Now, I'm not putting any of those things down. You ought to see this thing. I've spent 30 years in this book, and I love it. But you got to have more than the words on the page. You have to have the inspiration of the Almighty. What does Job say? There is a spirit in man, and the spirit of the Lord gives inspiration to the spirit of man. But while we're in all these religious activities, we really don't hear the Lord. And if we do, we don't have enough confidence in what we hear, because when the Lord speaks to you, He speaks usually contrary to what you've learned all your life. And so the first thing you do, if you were like me, is you go to your pastor or your elders or your spiritual friends, and you begin to share with them what the Lord is saying to you, and immediately you're shut up. Immediately you're told about deception. Immediately you're told about, well, even Satan himself will come as an angel of light. So religion is all about shutting you down so that you cannot grow individually without the governing body of whatever religious organization you're in. I was in a place where you didn't marry for a while, a few years. You didn't marry. You didn't do anything. You didn't go on a date. You didn't buy a house. You didn't do anything without the approval of the elders. You know what that does? And it was all done under the guise of, well, you know, we're here, really here to really look after you. Because, you know, I mean, this, of course, this isn't said, but this is what happened. You know, we're really the spiritual ones. And we spend a lot of time with God, and, you know, you're on the job and you're working, and you don't have that much time. So we spend this time with God so that He can give us the information that we need to help you, you know, govern your lives. And it's, well, I believe in most cases, they're well-meaning individuals. There's a lot of shysters out there, but so many of them are sincere.
Yeah.
And that's why for probably the last 15 years, the main thrust of what I minister is that you have an anointing and you don't need anybody to teach you.
Right.
And then they say, well, what are you doing here? Telling you that you don't need a teacher. And you know what? If you hear it, you will never need a teacher.
That's right.
If you hear it, you'll never need another teacher.
If you hear it.
Reminds me of what Jesus said, huh? He said, you have ears to hear, but they can't hear. They have eyes to see, but they can't see. And the major reason for that is because of the religion they've been in all of their lives. I'll never forget, you know, how could I forget when the Lord began to speak to me? And I can't tell you how many pastors and my friends and the elders, how many tried to shut that down?
Yeah.
And I was scared. But you know what? I was one of those Christians that was so caught up in the works of the flesh and in, you know, all of the stuff that I wasn't supposed to. I had to hear God.
Amen.
Because I don't think I could have lived if I didn't hear Him.
Yeah.
Because I was so condemned because I couldn't live up to that standard that not only I placed on myself, but that the church placed on me.
Yeah. Right.
And so I was continually told, Gary, there's no way God can bless you as long as you're making these kind of choices. The devil don't make you do that. That's your choice. But as long as you believe that it's your choices that separate you from God, guess what? You'll never experience oneness. You never will. What you have to realize is that you don't have to make yourself anything. And that's the message that Jesus came to bring us.
Beautiful.
That you're okay.
That's right.
You know, I can say this from my heart.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. what you're doing. I don't care if you're a drunk. I don't care what you're doing.
Right.
Doesn't change who you are.
No.
That's right.
No.
You see, religion won't tell us that. Religion will tell us if you're a drunk, you've got to change. Well, God doesn't want you to change.
Amen.
He wants you to realize who you are. And if you realize who you are, that will bring the change. But the more you try to do it, and I hear this so much among even some of the kingdom preachers, they're always telling us what we have to do. And I always say, well, good luck. I mean, we're going to try it. It's it, you know, because we love God. We're going to try to do it. But I'll tell you what, the sooner you can realize that you can't do it, the quicker you'll begin to experience the kingdom of God
in
reality.
That's right.
You
can do nothing for
yourself. Absolutely. Nothing. So walking in the kingdom again, I mean, what? I don't know. If I had somehow kept a log on how many hours that I've studied this, and how many hours that I've prayed, and there was a period in my life for 3.5 years that I never prayed less than 8 hours a day. Never. And a lot of times it was 10 and 12. My wife felt like a widow because I was always praying. I was always, you know, wanting to be alone. But I'll tell you what, I was so desperate. And, you know, and I wasn't always desperate. But I prayed to be desperate. I used to go out early in the morning in the desert, and I would cry to God, and I'd say, God, I was desperate, but I didn't know. I'd say, God, you got to make me hungry for you. Yet here I was going out every morning at 4 o'clock in the desert.
Give me a bird.
Oh, I've been through that one, too. When I was first convinced that I need to have a heart of intercession. Don't you have any feelings for people that are lost? And I'd say, well, I know I should, but I don't.
Okay.
Well, brother, you need to pray that God give you a burden for the lost. I'll never forget that. And then I started feeling guilty because I didn't have that burden. So, I'll never forget, Carol and I hadn't been married too long, and I said, you know, I am going to start. I work Monday through Friday. I said, I'm going to start on Saturday, and I'm going to spend all day alone with God. And we were kind of pastoring a little home church at the time. I said, I don't want no phone calls. I don't want nobody coming from ministry. I'm going to spend 8 hours a day on Saturday. And that's when I was first trying to learn how to get a burden or learn how to intercede.
Learn how to get a burden.
I tell you, we're so desperate, folks. We'll do anything for God. Won't we?
I missed that verse. Yeah. Come to me, those who are heavy laden. You missed that.
So I go into my room and shut the door the first Saturday. And within 10 minutes, I was bored. I prayed everything I knew in about 5 minutes. But I was determined. I stayed in that room all day. I said, I'm going to do it. And I did that Saturday after Saturday. But I'll never forget. You see, God honors our heart. I'll never forget this day. I don't know how many weeks it had been, whether it was 2 or 3 or a dozen weeks. But I started to enjoy it. I really started enjoying that time because after a period of time, I began to really open and talk to the Lord and still asking for a burden. One day, I opened the door and I walked in that room, and as I shut the door, something just gripped me, and I just began to, oh my God, I just began to weep. I'll never forget, I fell to the floor, and I began to groan, and I began to weep, and I began to cry out for, I mean, you talk about a burden.
Amen.
But you can't learn that.
No.
You can't learn it. I've done the craziest things, though, for religion. We were in a church one time, this was B.C., before Carol. I was in this church I was telling you about where they kind of governed our lives and done what they thought was best for us. But one day they began to teach us on the commandments. And they begin to teach us on the first commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in the heavens above, the earth beneath. And so they begin to share that, and they begin to say, do you realize that a picture, do you realize that a picture is an idol? And do you realize, and it says that very plainly, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image or even any likeness of anything that's in the heavens above, the earth beneath the earth. And so they begin to share with us how our family pictures are idols. And so, you know, here I go. I mean, I took all of my kids, my pictures, and all the family stuff, and the whole church did. So we had a bonfire.
But I didn't burn mine, I hid mine.
See that? I still got mine in there at home now.
You were known as a rebel. You know what? And honestly, I do not regret any of that. I mean, and I've done that just to begin. I mean, one day we were taught about televisions, and I took my TV out in the backyard, and I took a sledgehammer, and I mashed, didn't have a TV for years. I'll tell you, folks, I have done everything to try to experience God. And it just, I was just worse. I think, my God, what else can I do? You know, I've burnt my family pictures. I busted my TV. I haven't watched TV in probably 3 or 4 or 5 years. Even when Carol and I got married, I didn't have a TV. I tried everything to be holy.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I was a... But you know, it's what I say. Walking in the kingdom comes through inspiration, through faith, and through spiritual enlightenment.
Beautiful.
One day, God just spoke to me and He said, you are holy. And then He reminded me about the burning bush. Moses before the burning bush. And it said the only... And when I say God said, God don't talk to me like I'm talking to you. It comes through inspiration and enlightenment and understanding. It's not verbally, you know, talk to me like I wish I could pick up the telephone and talk to Him. But He just began to put this understanding in my heart. He said the only reason that ground was holy is because I was there.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And He said, I am in you, and I do not dwell in an unclean vessel. Now, when I heard that, I would have done anything but consider myself holy, because I was still doing all the stuff I'm not supposed to do. But I'll tell you, when you begin to hear or begin to receive spiritual enlightenment, that's when your life changes. Because if you hear God speak to you and say, you are holy, you might not understand that, but you sure ain't going to argue with it. And when you begin to realize that you are holy, everything changes.
Amen.
Your whole world will change. And isn't that what we all want? You know, every year, this time of year, when I was in the churches, and some of you have been there, every year the prophets would say, this is the year. This is the year that Lord is coming, or this is the year of the manifestation. Well, they didn't know about the manifestation of the sons, but this is the year, you know, when Jesus is coming. But the first year was always full of promises. And the end of the year was always a big disappointment for me and for most, because nothing happened. But when I began to hear, you are holy, and there's nothing you can do to change that. And that's why I say, what you're doing doesn't change who you are. And God does not look at you according to what you're doing. He looks at you as you are.
Amen.
God knows, and you will, all of us will eventually know, that we are the sons that were sent here because God wants to incarnate in humanity.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'm not going to make you crazy promises like the prophets did, but I'll tell you, that is what is happening, is that the veils are being removed from our eyes. We're beginning to understand from whence we came. And once we have an understanding from whence we came, how can we ever doubt that that's where we're going to go back to? But not back to in the sense of dropping physicality, but possessing our land means that the Spirit of God will fully incarnate in humanity. And then comes that saying, behold, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
Amen.
Now, I know there is people that this has happened to. I know there are.
Yes. That's true.
We never even hear about it.
That's right.
But that's what it means to possess the land. But to even do that, you have to realize that God thoroughly enjoys being you.
Yeah. Yes, He does.
No matter what you're doing.
Amen.
See, we thought you had to be, you know, religious, or you know, surely if you're really hungry for God, you're going to be a preacher, or you're going to be a deacon, or. But no, God enjoys being an auto mechanic, and I know there are lots of people who could really enjoy what they're doing, but they think that they should be more spiritual and do something else.
Yeah.
I know cases of women who have wonderful husbands, loving and kind, but yet they're not, in their wives' eyes, spiritual enough. And so they usually end up, you know, and vice versa. There'll be husbands that are really hungry for God, and they think their wives aren't spiritual, and it causes a breakup. But we have to realize that each one of us were sent here to become human and to express all that God is. And you can do that as a janitor. You can do that in any profession. And how do we express God? The number one function of expressing God is love. And that's the one thing we're so short of. Today, even among many of the kingdom sonship groups, they're so short of love. Because, and you know what, and it's not their fault. It's this mindset about we have to be right. I guess the mindset is that if you don't believe right, then we really can't fellowship. And they've made it a matter of intellectual knowledge rather than love one another unconditionally, accept one another unconditionally, because what you believe doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. I tell people, if you have the beginnings, even the very beginnings of the love of God formed in your heart, you just don't care what people believe. There's such an overwhelming love in your heart for humanity because you know that down deep within them is the seed just waiting for recognition. And people are doing a lot of wrong things because they're lost. And then we tell them, well, and I don't misunderstand me here, but they'll tell you, well, you just need to receive Jesus. And I was told, well, brother, you just come to Jesus just as you are, and He'll receive you. You know what? They don't believe that.
That's right.
They don't believe that. I know, because I did that, and I was okay just the way I was for a short time, but then I had to begin to change. And I was only accepted by the church. Just give me a little bit of time, and if I wasn't out there, you know, witnessing on the streets, or if my life hadn't begun to change, then that wasn't enough anymore.
Right.
But what I found out through inspiration, amen, from the Almighty is that I need to come to God every day just as I am. Yes. Because He does not expect any more out of me today. When I say me, I mean this flesh, this carnal nature. He doesn't expect any more out of me today than He did 20 years ago. Because flesh is flesh.
That's right.
Whether it's good flesh or bad flesh, it's flesh.
Right.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Amen.
It'll always be flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And you cannot take the flesh. Now the flesh is the carnal thinking, the human thinking, No matter how religious, doesn't matter if you've been to an altar and received Jesus, none of that matters as far as your spirituality is concerned. Because the flesh will always be the flesh. It can be a good flesh. It can go to church. It can dance and sing. It can pray 3 or 4 hours a day. It can read the Bible 10 chapters a day. The flesh is still the flesh.
Yes.
Now, because we're so religious-minded, most of us, at least I was and probably still am to a degree, that we would see people who was the most loving and the most kind and the most gentle people, not in church, but in the bars.
Yes, true.
And we'd say, oh, how they need Jesus. And if we got them, all of a sudden they became meaner than hell. Because there is not a meaner group of people in all the earth than religious people. Whether they're Christians.
No one hurts you like church people.
It doesn't matter if they're Christians or Hindus or Buddhists or, I mean, they're just mean. And there's a reason for that too. We're going to get into that this weekend about why Christians are so mean. Because I'm going to take you into the Word and show you why we're mean. But the majority of it is because we're just ignorant. And we have been taught all of our lives to fear deception. Fear deception. And as long as you have fear of deception, do you know what that says? If you're afraid of being deceived, do you know what that really says? You don't know your Father.
That's right.
Exactly.
So you don't really believe that you... Well, what you believe is that you can ask for a fish and get a stone. So one of the first things that I try to share with people that are just wanting to come into an understanding of an unconditional love of God is the first thing is you have to... Somehow you got to... And only God can do it. You have to get rid of the fear. Because if you're fearful, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Because there's too many things to be afraid of. Oh my God, them New Age people. You'd be scared to death. I think the first time I spoke publicly was about 1981. And I think from the very first message I gave, I was called New Age and I didn't even know what it was at that time. Never heard of it. But see, Christians... Whenever they hear something that has life to it and they're scared of it, they call it New Age. Now, there's a lot of nonsense goes on out there in what we call the New Age movement. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be among them than Christians. And I'll tell you why. Because they love. We're taught. And if it's not taught, it's in our brain. Religion is just... People that never go to church are religious.
Sure.
It's in our culture. We have an Americanized gospel even. It's terrible. One of the big ones amongst the Pentecostals when I was there, and my God, don't you dare take a drink. That's the devil's brew. But if you go to Germany, I mean, you'll find wonderful, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking people that drink beer every day and think nothing of it. And you'll find that whatever country you go to, their culture is different and the religious teaching is different. When I first went into Pentecost, I used to, for years, I'd come home every night, I'd make myself a couple of drinks. Never was excess, just a couple of drinks before dinner. Didn't see a thing wrong with that. Well, when I went into Pentecost, I learned how terrible it was. And so I came home and poured all my bottles down the thing and didn't take a drink for years. But see, we hear that. We think those kind of things are going to make us more pleasing to God. I'll tell you what, a drunk laying in the gutter crying out for God's mercy is better off than some self-righteous person thinking they're going to gain something with God by their performance. Because it's not about performance. It's about what is in your heart. What do you want?
Yes.
What is it you want? Because I was told some crazy things coming up looking for God. And every time I was told to do something crazy, if I really believed and had faith in the pastor or the whoever was telling me, I would do it. Thank God today I don't have to listen to anybody. Doesn't that sound arrogant? Well, I'll tell you what, Carol and I, we've been married 22 years, and we have a life that's almost unimaginable. Not that, you know, we have our times, but we hear God.
Amen.
And we picked up and moved across the country about three times now. Not even knowing, you know, we moved to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I knew one person there. It was Betty Hodges. And didn't know how to get to the grocery store. Why did we do that? Because the Spirit of the Lord gives inspiration to the spirit of man. And if you can learn to listen to that, you will never need anybody to teach you. And thank God. I mean, can you imagine if we would get, and we are and we will, get the people of God to stop doing what somebody else tells them to do.
Amen.
And learn to hear God for ourselves.
Amen.
It's one of my favorite scriptures, Jeanette. The anointing which you have received abides in you.
Yes.
And you don't need any man to teach you, for that same anointing
yes.
teaches you
yes. Yes.
all things.
Yes. Yes.
Not just a few things, but all things. In fact, if you back up to the beginning of that chapter in 1 John chapter 2, it says, you have an anointing and you know all things. Well, we read things like that and we don't believe it. How could you believe that you know everything? But when you begin to walk in the inspiration of the Almighty, you realize that within you is the source of everything that you could possibly
yes.
ever want,
yes.
ever need, or ever know. It doesn't mean you know everything at once.
No, what you need.
But it means that whatever you need, you have the intuitive knowledge within you that will bring that forth.
Yes.
Amen.
So when God told us to move across the country, we didn't even have the money to rent a truck. So, there's another key. You don't go out and try to raise the money to do it when God tells you to do something. We don't send out appeal letters and all that stuff. We just say, okay. We both talked and we felt God wants to move. We said, okay, we'll do it. But then you don't worry about how you're going to do it, because that's not my responsibility.
Yes, right.
Now see, here's where you're taught wrong too. Because if you're in a church system and you feel like, you know, God wants me to go to Africa, then you're taught how to go out and raise the money to do that. When if God really tells you to do it, why would you have to raise the money to do it? He has never told us to do anything that we've had to raise the money to do. Our only responsibility, if you can call it that, is just to say, okay, we'll do it. Whatever it is, we'll do it. But I'm not going to sweat over it. I'm not going to worry about how to do it.
Right.
We just do it. That happened just with this trip coming here. We wanted Carol to come. And normally when I fly, we don't have that kind of finances to, you know, for her to come. But we really felt that she needed to be here. And so I kept looking and looking and looking. I was checking the internet every 3 or 4 days. Well, one day, I think it was Eric, he sent me an email and he said he had just checked Southwestern Airlines. And they had a good price. And I had just checked him a few days before that. So I went on and I found 2 round-trip tickets for $398.
Amen.
But it does not matter what God wants you to do. You just don't sweat the details. And if you don't get to do it, you just know that the timing is not right. And that's the whole key. Because God will speak to you to do something, but it may be 5 years later before you ever have the ability, the finances, and the resources to do what He said. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Look how long it took Abraham to get Isaac. He definitely heard a word from God. Guess what he did? He produced Ishmael. Guess what we do?
Try to help God.
God says, I want you to go to Africa. So right away we start writing to all our friends and our mailing list, and God wants me to go to Africa, and boy, if you have a burden, send me your money so I can go. You know, and they don't know any better. I mean, I don't want to criticize them, because that's all they know. But there's a better way. There's a better way than Bible study, and I still study the Bible. There's a better way than anything you can think of. See, because walking in the kingdom does not come through anything that you can do mentally, physically. Well, I'll tell you what, if it was through knowledge, I'd be there.
Sure.
No, I don't think anybody studied more than I have and been more hungry than I have, but all I needed to hear is his voice. And you know, I still listen to teachers. Not very many.
Not many.
I love Lynn Hiles. Listen to Lynn Hiles. I get his CD of the month. Preston Eby, oh.
Yeah.
I get lost in his writings every month. So it's not that you shouldn't listen to teachers, but you just have to know that if you hear something that doesn't bear witness with you, just ignore it. Because any man or woman or anybody that tells you that this is the way you have to do it, you need to run. Because there is no the way to do it. Because each one of us is on an individual path.
Amen.
Of ascension.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't let that word scare you, because that's what's happening.
Good word.
So you've been on the path of ascension since you first experienced that birth of His Spirit come alive within you.
Amen.
And now that we know what it means to be fully ascended, is to just... And it's not, I want to say let, but again, there's nothing you can do. But it's having God fully incarnate into humanity, where death, or I'm sorry, life will swallow up death.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, the life in you will swallow up all of the death.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't kill it. You can't deny it. You can't talk your way out of it.
Nope.
But the life in you will swallow up all the death.
Right.
Yes.
And if you know it's the life, and you know it's not what you do, then it takes the responsibility off of you.
That's it.
See, you are not responsible to make yourself anything at all. I'll never forget that. I was so discouraged once, and God said to me, He said, Gary, it is my responsibility to make you what I want you to be. And if I don't do that, I would be an irresponsible parent. And he spoke this to me. He said, you may suffer. You may go through, you know, many fiery trials. But as your father, it's my responsibility to do in you what I want to do. For it is God that works in you,
yes,
both to will and to do. Where's that? Where do we fit into there? Because the more we will and the more we try to do, the more separate we become,
yeah,
in our awareness.
Yeah.
And when we learn to relax and to know that it is this is all about God. You know, a lot of people today are running around talking about how we're God. You know, I'm God. I'm this. But it's not about what you are. It's not about what you can become. It's about God. It's about Him filling this temple with Himself. I wish you could tell me how to do that. You can't. But He's doing it. When we realize, again, it has nothing to do with our ability, with our learning, with our quoting Scripture. I mean, I have been through all of that.
Yes.
I confessed healing one time. I'll tell you what, my tongue almost fell out. And I still have physical problems in my body. It's not about, you can't change anything.
No.
You know what Jesus said? He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? What can you do by taking thought? What can you do by confessing Scripture all day long?
Get a sore throat.
And you know what? It's not that you shouldn't do that, because, you know, I still do that a lot. But I know it's not what I do that amounts to anything. It's what God is doing. So I'd much rather speak, you know, speak scripture, speak prosperity, speak health. But I know that it's not my speaking. It's only as He speaks within me.
Yes. Amen.
It's only as the heart believes that the mouth speaks. And see, I got it backwards. I was trying to confess it to make my heart believe it. And they tell you that works, and it might for some, but it didn't for me. But when I heard God speak, you see, if God says to you, you're healed, why would you say anything else? Or unless you're like Zach. You remember Zach? When the angel came to Zacharias and told him that Elizabeth was going to have a baby, that angel knew he was going to be talking negative, so he shut his mouth until the baby was born.
Yeah.
So it's not that our... I do believe that what we speak has a great influence on our life. So I don't want to put that down, but you can't get into the mode of thinking that, well, if I speak right all the time, I'm going to be just fine, because again, it's putting yourself back into the works.
Uh-huh.
But these things begin to come naturally to you. It's a life in you that begins to rise up and begins to speak the word and begins to speak the truth. See, everything has to come out of life and not the mind. That's what God is doing these days. He is taking the veil. Remember what He says? I don't remember where He said, but He was going to take the veil that was spread over all nations.
Yes, yes.
You know what that veil is? It's your humanity. That you're human thinking, that you're human, and that you're something other than what God is.
Yes.
That's the veil that's been cast over all nations.
That's right.
The veil of forgetfulness. The veil of not knowing from whence we came.
Yes.
The veil of thinking I'll never make it. The veil of thinking there's something I can do to make it. And it's all about God wanting to incarnate in this human for. Anyway, I think that's enough for tonight. I know I've been up since 4 o'clock, and probably some of you have been up a long time. And but we'll pick this up tomorrow. Gene, at what time? This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music.